Let's sing Shine On Me, Lord, Shine On Me. That's number 204. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
having testimonies a little later on, but right now, 228, God said, set my people free and let them go.
God said, set my people free and let them go. God said, set my people free and let them go. God said, set my people free and let them go. Into the promised land.
God will make a way. He will. Where the call of Him, He will make the way.
God will make a way when it seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
Let's sing 350, I cast all my cares upon you. Pretty good friend to have, eh? When he says, give me all your cares and problems. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burden down at your feet, and any time I don't know as what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Thank you, Lord. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burden down at your feet. And any time I don't know 362, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. And then we'll have testimonies if anyone would like to share. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, make it like. Seated. Brother Denning will be here for the Tuesday prayer meeting, and next week he had to go back to his home because he's expecting a call from Vanuatu, and thought I'd let you all know. Right, do we have any testimonies? Signal by a raised hand. Did Nico have one? Put in testimonies? Anything you'd like to say? No, not you. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we'd better have another song. 354, Jesus, just a mention of your name. Number 354. You can remain seated if you wish.
Jesus, just the mention of your name, flowers grow, the desert blooms again, life by
come up, unless you have a testimony that you've just remembered. No testimony, not today. Okay, you got one. Okay, Nico. So Nico has one.
Go ahead.
One day I was sad and I prayed to God and he gave me like the happiness and yeah.
Amen. That's a good testimony. Well, that's very good. Just don't forget to let your friends know. Very good, Nico. Excellent. Led by the young. Any others that have got a testimony? Okay, thank you, Brother Howard.
Amen. Well, it's good to testify. Even if it's just a little thing, it's really good to testify. Thank you, Nico. That's great. Well, we just want to turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Shall we just stand for the reading of God's word? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word, Lord. We just thank you that you have given us this wonderful gospel that he speaks of, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to every heart here for these few moments, Lord, and may we be encouraged and strengthened in thee. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. He says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And I just want to speak about that. Be not moving from the hope of the gospel. And Paul is admonishing the church to not move away from the gospel. And the reason he says that is because some were. Because in this gospel, we have a blessed hope. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. This hope is the eternal hope, not a hope so. Hope in those days meant something secure. We have a hope. Today we say, oh, I hope so. It could be either or. But there it means it's a hope. So why do people move away from the gospel? And I'll tell you why they move away from the hope of the gospel is because they have never grasped the hope of the gospel. They have never held on to it. If you ever find a river of precious gold, it's not likely that you'll move away from that great treasure, no matter what others would tell you. And you have found this great find, you are not going to give it up. Jesus expressed it this way. I love the way he says this. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field, because he knew the value of it. Sold everything. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And you know, brother and sister, that is a tremendous thing. Once you know what you're wanting, once you've found it, you're not going to move away onto something else. But people chop and change. They move here, they move there. Now they think this, now they think that. But when you get this gospel, it's a wonderful blessing. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I do too. And the realization of what we have found brought great joy. It's great joy to know your sins are forgiven, brother. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. You know your sins are forgiven. When you understand by the Spirit of God the hope of the gospel, it brings great joy to the soul. Not only that, but it becomes the greatest value in your life. This man sold all that he had. Think about it. Sold all. To gain this incredible gift. The hope of the gospel is not up for negotiation. Like we said this morning, once you've tasted of it, you know what it is. You're not going to sell it off to some worldly, crazy idea, some entertainment, money or something like that. It's greater than that. And finally he found what he was looking for. He wasn't planning on losing it. He hid it. He secured it when he hid it. And Satan is wasting his time negotiating with this child of God. There's no way we're giving up this gospel.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, you'll be amazed how much it's given up. People don't even preach the gospel anymore. They don't even preach the coming of the Lord anymore. Tell me where you hear it. You don't. They're just living in a fantasy world. He's not interested in selling out his birthright for the arm of flesh. He's not attracted to selling this glorious gospel for material advantage. Some people use the gospel to make money. What a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Satan may even try to use the man's own family to trade this hope. Now, I can tell you this. I have been in here. When a man came into this church and he knew he had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you how he did it. He came down the aisle like this. I see it very clearly. He's the architect of our hospital. And he came down like this. Tears in his eyes. He said, "Brother, I know I have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is in the Word." He was really convinced. Well, I know it's hard to believe, but that man went back home. His wife said to him, "You get baptized, I'm leaving you." And she meant it. She became a roaring lion. And he rang me up and he said, "Brother, I'm sorry, I can't be baptized because she'll leave me." And I was just so affected by that. That is what his wife said. But God had shown him, and his wife discouraged him from being baptized. He couldn't do it. Otherwise, she'd leave him. And Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We go to Matthew 19:29. "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Nothing should hold you back from this wonderful treasure. This glorious gospel, it's number one. We look up, take anything else, brother and sister, you're selling out your birthright. Like Esau, he sold out his birthright to be blessed of God. What for? A pot of porridge. He's that hungry. And the Bible says later on he came to the realization of what he'd done. He begged. He cried out to God. And the Bible says he found no place for repentance. He had lost it forever. So brothers and sisters, this gold has got to be hid in our hearts. It's got to be kept, treasured above everything else. So, tragically, I've seen many people come to church, and I'm sure others here have seen it. And the family members put the pressure on them. Don't go there. What for? Just don't go there. And they bring so much pressure, they refuse to go anymore. And you never see them again. We just pray for the souls of those people. And so I just know that why people move away from the gospel of hope is because they don't have a revelation of eternal things. I just want to please them. Who wants to please the Lord Jesus? You just want to walk in his light. Walk in the light he's given you. And when we see it, then we should lay hold on it. Lay hold on eternal life. Then it says, brace it. Grab it. Put it about your neck. Don't let it go. Hold on to this gospel. Don't be put off. Don't be discouraged by people. It's your soul that's going to be counted at the end. So we cling to it. But Paul was not troubled at this behavior. Paul actually marveled that people so quickly moved away. In Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They've got another gospel, but actually it's not a gospel. It's a false gospel. He says, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some of you that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul says he's got to be cursed. It's so serious to move away from the gospel. Stay with it. Just say what God said. Don't reason it, just do it. It's interesting to note that these people were called of God. Yes, they once rejoiced in the hope of the gospel. But they had no depth of revelation, no depth of understanding into the glorious hope in Christ. It's just like the Bible says in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Isn't that awful? People actually get called, and in the end they don't go the whole mile. You know, I had the privilege to go and see Noah's Ark when I was in Louisville. It was about an hour and a half north of Louisville, this big ark. If you ever go that way, you should go and see it. It's huge, three stories, exactly the same size they built it. I'm saying to the folks in Louisville, everyone knew the old man, Noah. They had respect for the old fella. In those days they did for old people. They respected them and helped them. And I'm sure many body-able men would help them with the logs, and 120 years this was under construction. Maybe some ladies took some hot scones and jam and cream and morning tea time to the old fella and his sons. And you know, they knew them, well known. They knew all about the ark. Everybody did. The newspapers carried it, as it were. Come and see this great spectacle of Noah's Ark. They walked inside. They helped join it. Did all those things, but never believed it was going to float. Never believed that there's going to be a flood. They gave away their hope. They looked at that ark many times, and when the day came, it started to rain, and they stood at the ark door and looked at it. Shall I go up? Shall I not? What's my friends going to say if I go into that ark? But Noah said to get in. Am I really going to get into this Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just going to watch. I'm just going to be around it. I know all about it, but I'm not going to be part of it. And while I was standing there looking, the Bible says God shut the door. Well, that was something. God shut the door. It's a pretty big door. And then it started to rain. And really rain. The fountains broke open in the depth. You see all this on the at the site. And all the water started coming out. There's a deluge of canopy of water above the earth. And Jesus said, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't value the opportunity of what God had given them. Very serious. It's just really sad. And Jesus says in Luke 8:11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. So they hear the gospel. Yeah, that's good. But it doesn't last. They let it go. Lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. This is a wonderful word you're bringing, brother. Oh boy, haven't I heard that. And these have no root, which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. This is our Lord speaking. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So it's really sad that people get so close, but they don't go all the way. There are others who move away in a more subtle way. Why? Because it sounds or appears more spiritual, if I say it this way, they say. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we read this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Sounds good, this deep ministry. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I think it's just really sad. When you hear this, the people are keen and then they get drawn away with this and drawn away with that and this and that. You know, you've got to be careful, especially in this day and age. You know, I get a lot of email, I'm sure all of you do. And off the internet, there's so much rubbish that comes into my box. Got a little cross on my screen. It's very handy. It's gone. But people, there's so much out there that is trying to lure people into believing this and believing that. And these people once walked in the hope of the gospel. But after listening to flamboyant and influential preachers, they turn their ears away from the truth. In other words, they walk in the truth, and then they are turned away from the truth. It's terrible reading, isn't it? From the truth unto fables, as false lies. And the result is, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always hearing, always learning, but never come to the truth, the knowledge of the truth. But this blessed hope is for believers. To the true believer, the hope of the gospel is precious. Hallelujah. Who believes this? Amen. Amen. It's not too simple for us. We love it. We don't care if it sounds simple. I love it simple. To those that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So let's just read that in Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Isn't that wonderful? Anyone who makes light of the hope of the gospel is unknowingly manifesting a state of hopelessness and destruction. Let me just say that again. Anybody who makes light of the hope of the gospel, say, oh, brother, that's old hat. You need to go on. You need to get deeper. Watch out. Who make light of the gospel is unknowingly manifesting a state of hopelessness and destruction. And I want to read that from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. In other words, these people who are going to go to lost eternity, the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. Oh, brother, we want the deep stuff. We want manna from heaven. God's already sent it. But to us, which are saved, it's the power of God. The one message person once said to me, they went down to see somebody visiting town, and they were so revelated, great understanding of the word, as they call it. They came to me and they said, I said, well, how did it go? Did you go that many? Oh, yes. But they said, oh, it's all that salvation, just that salvation stuff. I said, come again. Salvation stuff? That's the most precious thing to my soul.
Amen.
It's precious. It's life. Salvation stuff. Brother and sister, what other stuff have you got? That's so great. I want to be in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moving, I don't want to be moving away from the hope of the gospel. That was an amazing thing. They simply have no revelation of the hope of the gospel. These people are always seeking for the meat of the word. Have you ever heard that? It makes shudders go down my spine when I hear it. Oh, brother, I want the meat of the word. But it is the wrong sort of meat. It has man-made worms in it. You know, in days of Moses, they crave for the meat. Oh, Moses, give us meat, 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 meat. They did not want the God-given angels food from the ovens of heaven, the manna that fell every night. They didn't want that. Ah, come on. Give us meat, brother. But because they pestered God, he gave them according to their lust. And they died while the meat was between their teeth. What people call meat is sometimes their destruction. They've moved away from the gospel. They want to get deeper. And that takes you to serious problems. I'm telling you, I've seen over and over again. Brother and sister, who wants the gospel?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a precious thing to us. They wanted meat. We've been given a glorious gospel. God has sent his word in this day. What for? To turn our hearts back to the original faith of the early church fathers. Let's read Malachi 4, 5 and 6. There's a prophecy of this day. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we know that's the season. That's the last days, not John the Baptist days. That's in Malachi 3. And they shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children, that's us, to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So God has restoring us the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever get used to it, brother. Sister, don't get used to it. Ah, we've heard that. Give us something we can chew on. Be careful. The judgment of God will come. And God turned them away from what they had, unto erroneous doctrines and teachings of men. They lost it forever. That's thus saith the word. I just read it. This message we have received is the full gospel restored back. People want to keep the message a perpetual mystery. You know, people always want to keep the word a perpetual mystery. Oh, it's a mystery. We're gaining more mysteries, more mysteries. Look, when the mysteries of God have been revealed, they cease to be a mystery. You say you want to know, find the door to get out of this building? Once it's a mystery. Which is it? That door? Or is it this door? Or what? But when you found the door, it's no longer a mystery. Revelation takes away the mysteriousness of it. It's clear. Very clear. And I praise the Lord for it. The glorious hope of the gospel has been fully revealed to us. Now what shall we do? What should we be doing about it? You and I. What should we be doing about it? Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Because I can preach? Well, that's one thing. The other thing is to live it. Can you live the gospel? People say, you've got to walk the talk. It's all very well to preach, but you've got to live it. They've got to see it in you. I really believe that. It's the only lifeline mankind has. Not churches, not the preachers, not our programs, but the hope of the gospel given to God's children. What a great responsibility we have to let our light shine. We've been given a tremendous task to shine the hope of the gospel. If you don't shine it, who's going to give it to them? You know what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, if you hide it, it is hid to them that are lost. They are lost because we hid our gospel. We did not preach the truth. You know, I've just been telling the brothers and sisters overseas, preach the gospel. Paul says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Our great deep teachings won't save anybody. They want to know their sins are forgiven. They want to know where to go. They want to know how to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Who believes that?
Amen.
That's what we should be doing. Some will say the gospel is not for today. I just say, what devil told you that? That's a devil. It's not the Holy Spirit. People say the gospel's not for today. This gospel has to be preached in all the world before Jesus can come. So who wants Jesus to come? Well, we need to get out and preach it. Get out and tell before the end comes. Let's read Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So every time we go to a new country, that's wonderful. And others are going there too and preaching the gospel. It's an everlasting gospel and has never changed. The gospel has never changed. Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Amen.
He's the one that has set us free with his shed blood for each one of you. Revelation 14:6, we read, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel. It's forever. Don't let anyone try and talk you out of it and say, oh, we've got something different now, we're moving on. No, we're not. We're going back to the faith of the fathers. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people the everlasting gospel. Without our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and being filled with the Spirit, we cannot be a part of his bride. You cannot be a part of the rapture unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you now. Proved from the scriptures. So many are carried away with their special revelations. They move away from the hope of the gospel unto another gospel. The people are spiritually starved. Young people are not getting to Christ. Like to read something Brother Branham said, 1965. Now the very essence of the message that was sent is that he is risen from the dead. There we go. We his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. Hallelujah. We proved the world in Louisville last week that Jesus Christ is alive and that many people were healed of their sicknesses. Who believes that? Say amen.
Amen.
So they said, miraculous healings. They expressed it. We cannot do it by word only, not just by preaching. We cannot do it by some tradition of men. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. He says, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting the people to Christ. We're getting them to our church, we're getting them to our theories, but we must get them to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us to recalibrate, get back in line. We are without excuse. We are blessed above all people. We have heard the voice. Have you recognized the call of God today? Let's come back to the hope of the gospel and tell others while there is hope. You know, I've said this many times to a lot of people around the world. If you saw a man that's been knocked down, maybe off his bicycle or somewhere on the road, he's there on the side of the road and he's dying. His lungs are being punctured, blood's filling them up. Can you tell him how to be saved? Can you tell him what he must do? You say, oh, well, brother, you need to study the word more. You need to hear this message or that message. He doesn't want to know that. He wants to know how to get saved. What must I do to be saved? We need to repent of our sins, as Paul said on the day of Pentecost. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need to tell him. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the one that took all our judgment. He took all our sin and has given us eternal life. Are you willing to tell others that?
Yes.
It might be the postman. It might be anybody at work or whatever. They come up to you and, I get it so much. And aeroplanes and things. I had a lady sitting next to me in the plane just the other day. Really nice person. And I said, what we need is, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. She said, well, I'm a humanist. I said, that won't get you out of the grave, being a humanist. How are you going to get out of the grave? We know how to get in the grave, but how do we get out of the grave? How do we know that we're going to be resurrected by being in Christ Jesus our Lord? If thou believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with thy whole heart, thou shalt be saved. He's coming to empty the graves for those that believe. Who believes that? There's going to be empty graves in Gisborne. I believe it. Hallelujah. Do you believe this is reality? It could happen sooner than you think. Oh, I tell you. So, brother and sister, we're going to be ready witnesses to tell the truth. Don't hold back. Don't say, I better not say anything. Tell them! Time's running out. People are going to go to lost eternity because you never told them the hope of the gospel. As Paul says, we don't want to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't bring them to the church. Not coming to our church or anyone else's church or hearing this great preacher or that preacher. They may be great preachers too. They may be great churches. Tell them about Christ.
Amen.
Time is at hand. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So, brother and sister, may we all stay close to the gospel. It's not about us. It's all about him, what he has done for us. Praise the Lord. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon. We know, Lord, that time is running out. We know that the signs that the prophets foretold is being manifest before us. We see everything materializing. We know divine judgment is pending for this world. And Lord, we should be getting out and telling everybody we come in contact with about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us for being sluggish. Help us, Lord, for being backward and telling others. Lord, maybe we don't know ourselves. Lord, may that change. May we come to know you, the power of your resurrection. Lord, I just pray you'll move upon every heart, Lord, and those who be listening wherever they may be, that we'll not move away from the gospel, Lord. We won't superimpose something. No, Lord, we'll just come back to the good old gospel from the good old book. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. I praise you and I glorify thee, for the hour of your coming is at the door. You said, be ye therefore ready, for you know not when your Lord doth come. I pray, Lord Jesus, every person here and those joining with us will be ready for that glorious hour because we stayed with the gospel. I ask this blessing in the name of Jesus. Bless each one, Lord. We thank you for your word, for the encouragement and the admonition of thy word. We thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Tell me the story of Jesus. You got that, Nancy? It should be in the Only Believe. So. Tell me the story of Jesus. Redemption. Thank you, Lord. Tell me the most precious. There was heaven. Tell me of Jesus right on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We'll have to get the words for that. It's a beautiful song. We'll sing the first verse again. It says, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the angels sang as they worshipped his birth. Glory to
Amen. I think we need to be brave for our Lord. I mean, it's not because I do it, but when I get the opportunity to talk to somebody, normally I do and I'm travelling in a vehicle, and I introduce them to the Lord. I said, do you know the Lord? Quite often it's no, or I go to church, or silence. But you know what? The Lord says, tell him anyway. This isn't me getting the message. Tell him anyway. And if they want to take it further, they'll question. And some of the people I've had, they've just stayed quiet, and they've stayed quiet for about 100 Ks. But they're not fighting it. But who knows? It's the Lord that does it. It's not any one of us. It's the Lord that does it. Don't be scared to tell somebody. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be what you want us to be, and that is to tell our brothers and sisters about you. We don't know who all the brothers and sisters are. We're only human. But treat them as one of yours. Help us to put the words in our mouth. Lord, help us to say what you want us to say. And sometimes it may be irrelevant, it would seem. But to somebody else, it may be what they need to hear. It's you that does it, Lord, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the truth of what was preached this afternoon. Bless the people that listened in on the internet and CDs. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, because we're so pleased you're coming very soon. Be with us as we go on our way now, Lord, and may we do what you want us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.